And today, going to take some time and visit with John Rosa, Landfill Administrator, Recycling Coordinator for Boone County. Good to have you here.
Good morning. Good to be here. Happy September.
Yeah. Whew. It is September. Why? First week in September.
Yeah, here we go.
And you have Saturday, another household hazardous waste collection event.
Yay. Yes, they're back.
No, well, it's always the first Saturday, except in June and October. Now, is October the last month you do this, or do you do it again in November?
We still do November.
Okay. Yep. So April through November.
Yep, that's it. Yep. So, Yeah, October we still kind of do them. It's just on the road. We take it out. We go out of town.
Go to Madrid. And, and again, people that are in the service area can easily come and dispose of their household hazardous waste.
That's right.
The appropriate household hazardous. No nuclear material.
Please.
Things like that. Again, and don't bring latex paint either. So you always get to bring that back home.
Yep, that's a return.
Oh, well. Yeah. But this Saturday, so just a couple hours Saturday morning, and I know you make it a convenience for, you know, people that happen to be cleaning out basements, cleaning out, and this, you know, after the summer, kids are heading back to school or heading off to school, so you got to clean their rooms.
And the surprises you may find with that.
Yeah, so we got all of that going, but you do still have appointments. I mean, you can still do appointments. But.
Yeah. Yep. And we do that during the week. If you can't make those Saturday, the first Saturday of the month events that we do, we just ask that you call us and make an appointment during the week so that we can have some staff available to help you out with whatever you have. So you don't just get to drive up, dump it off, and take off, because we want to make sure that we have the appropriate things that we're going to be able to accept. Mm-hmm. And it's... I had a clean out the other day, and there was a lot of stuff. It's amazing when you keep stuff and store it away and stash it, and then forget about it, and then pass away, and the kids are left dealing with the clean out, and it's some weird stuff in there sometimes.
They'll go,
and we're not really
what
sure.
was in this?
Yeah,
can.
Well, we think it's this.
The label fell off this like years ago,
and so we can test some of that stuff and determine what it is and get a better idea, but. You know, labels are good, and clean it out more. Don't wait until you have 8, 10, 12 totes of stuff. You know, try to bring in one tote at a time would be much easier. And we have actually had that discussion and reserve the right to refuse people when they do bring out a whole truckload to that event. That's not something that we're a small storage facility. Mm-hmm. So really hit those collection events that we do, the June one in Boone and then the October one down in Madrid, because the trailer from Metro Waste Authority is on site that day, and they can load it directly and haul it away. Sure. So that's a purpose for that one, or take it directly down to Bondurant.
Yeah, if someone had the large barrels of, say, substance that we believe might have been arsenic or something like that, and you still have people come across those things.
Yeah, some oddballs, that's
and,
for sure.
And why was this here? And okay, now how do we get rid of it?
Uh-huh.
And some of that might end up having to go directly down there.
Yeah. So, yep.
That would be a bomb.
Yeah. And that's also, this is a very small quantity generator type event. So we're talking about residents with small amounts, but not businesses. And we can help businesses. We can take the stuff, but you have to pay for that service. And that's working directly with Metro on the payment. And then we can be a satellite office and accept it. But again, we have a small building, so if you're bringing a whole bunch of stuff to us, you know, we'll have to say no, and you take it directly to Bondurant, and that's the location for it to go, because we don't want to fill up our building and then wipe that out for whenever Bondurant can come up, Metro can come up and clean us out. So, just be kind and be aware that if you bring a huge load of stuff, we may have some issues with that.
Should they have questions, they can always call.
Please, yes. Yeah. Ask before you come there and get a bad surprise. Excuse me, a bad surprise. Those are not fun. We don't want to turn you away, but you know, we have to do it.
Well, with people selling homes, you know, cleaning out and things like that and getting ready to move into other places. And all right, what don't I need? Well, if it is latex paint, you're going to have to work with somebody else on that.
Yeah.
Dry it out as fast as you can, because that's the bottom line. But if it's oil-based, you guys can take that.
We certainly can. Yep. And all those other things, the paint thinners, it comes to mind. Spray paints and any kind of aerosol cans, those are easy. Fertilizers, chemicals, pesticides, motor-type equipment stuff, brake fluid, for instance, would be something we can take.
Oil? No, oil is recyclable.
Oil is recyclable. We do take small when we have to, we kind of need to, or we, you know, okay, yeah, we can deal with some of it. But generally speaking, we tell people to contact a place in Boone that can use it in shops. It doesn't have to be Boone, but so, that's just the most common.
Yeah, well, we have shops that have oil burners. And, those that do it on a regular basis.
Yeah, not just burning it.
For, And there's some that will, if you're changing your oil or something, bring it to one of our automotive businesses. A lot of those will have a tank and they'll a barrel, and they have a company come in and pump it out every once in a while.
Ask your auto parts store if they could accept it, and they can get it recycled for you.
Can help out. Antifreeze
we take.
Bottle it up, make sure they know.
Mark it as such, and identify it. So
please don't put it in a windshield washer thing and say, "Oh yeah, here, take this." And oh, this is antifreeze.
That'd be a bad joke.
We have that. Would not be fun. All right, a few other things that are going on for you, and I know that obviously still working on the recycling part in the paper recycling, and making some progress on potentially trying to improve efficiency there. That's the big thing that you've been working on. We talked a little bit about this, I think a couple of visits ago, getting a compactor truck to be able to do that, and then cost-effectively get it dumped out and stuff.
Yeah, it's something we've been talking about for a while, probably too long. You know, been working through the process on it too. Years. Bill and I, Bill, our driver, had talked about that years ago when I was running the recycling. That, you know, let's do this better. What about a packer truck instead of what we've been doing? But you know, it's like enough time talking about it. Let's just get it done. So we've been having more of those discussions with the board, trying to educate them about what it takes and what the impact is and switching to this type of a truck. So we're talking about the cube van that Bill drives around and loads it manually, and then instead let's go to a packer truck where he can dump it in easier, less labor intensive, does a lot of the work for us for smashing it, keeps it speeds up the route, his collection time, so he's not driving back to unload as regular. And then we could also take it and sell it off instead if it was just cardboard. So we're probably looking at, if we go through with everything, getting a packer truck and then kind of changing the business portion of our service and focus primarily on cardboard collection and really try to expand that as much as we can. Still trying to, we don't want to cut off those that are
the office paper.
For you guys, for instance, you know, that we would still try to find some accommodations, go around once every couple weeks on a Friday and pick up paper, do a paper day. Or, you know, there's always the drop-off location.
Make it a little more of a volume.
Yeah.
And that's, well, I was going to say, because the way it is now, you got, let's see, you pick it up and then you got to unload it and then you got to pick it up and then you got to. So it reduces the amount of handling time, obviously.
He's driving around throwing all that stuff in there manually and then comes back and it gets unloaded manually, and it's a lot of touching and cardboard, and how many times are you going to do that? Then it has to get smashed and then shoved into the semi. So instead of doing that, we'd be hopefully filling up that packer truck with cardboard, and then we can take it directly to one of the services down in Des Moines and sell it instead. So
that's a little more marketable.
There is a more
of a market for cardboard.
Cardboard's fairly steady. I mean, there's times when it dips and drops, but usually there's a market, you know, and online shopping is not going away, and anytime soon it seems like there's always a demand for OCC, old corrugated cardboard. So we focus on that a little bit, try to change some things, make it more cost effective. I won't say to generate money or to make money on it, because we're not. It's just cutting losses, frankly. It's speeding up the route, making it easier on Bill, on just any, our whole staff, actually, you know, on the labor that's involved with it. And then diverting it away and not filling up our trailer that we pay for as much, so then we can divert that away from there. So we save the cost of filling up our semi-trailer that goes to Chupan down in Des Moines, and we could instead take some of that off, the cardboard off, and then sell it too. So it's a kind of a double win, if you will.
I was going to say, because one of the things that people, they say, let's put it this way, the landfill makes money, but they make money on fees.
Yes.
Okay. That's how you're in the business of that. And you try to break even. You've got some obligations. The state says, DNR says, you have to have money for this. You have to have money. Post-closure, things like that. Yep. So those dollars you have to have set aside already.
Yep.
And they're just there. And the state frowns if you if they go away.
You don't touch them. Yeah.
That's but and do you have to, I mean, guess, I would guess because of down the road, the cost of doing those things is still going to be up. Do they tell you what kind of amount you have to have available? Do they update you like every other year or something like that?
Yeah, every year, okay. Actually. Yep. So that's it's designated by our engineering firm. They come up with that figure, share with the DNR based on their calculations, and they'll check it and cross-check it and make sure everything's legit. And then we transfer funds over to that account. It's based upon the tonnage that we have, the open space that we have available for garbage. So including our current cell, you know, it's designed, it's built, it's not covered. At certain times, we only take the sand up as much as we need it each time. So, you know, the less we have exposed, we won't have it being charged for that. So it saves a little bit by not having it fully exposed. So we don't build the whole thing because then it would be
then you would have a much higher fee to have to collect.
So we can keep that down. And then, you know, but the more garbage we take in, the more active space we have, the more we're going to pay. So it's one of those things. But yeah, they calculate that all out with some big old formula. And then they say you need to transfer this much money into that account for this fiscal year.
I'm guessing a lot of people don't realize all of the hoops you have to jump through to operate a landfill.
There's a few.
Which is one of the reasons why we have limited space and we're not going to be adding anytime soon. I mean, you're landlocked. That's it.
Yep. Darn it.
Well, there's that.
But so that's why we're trying to maximize the use of that and prolong it, if you will. So
one thing I know is you've helped work with Story County and Ames to divert a lot of theirs. You've gotten, again, they've had a little higher fee because they were not part of your initial service area. Your initial service area, you've got a comp plan. It spells out what cities are in there and everything else. And they're a kind of a secondary.
Yeah.
So that's why we're looking at trying to help them divert.
Mm-hmm.
And are they? Well, they've gotten started.
Yeah, it has. And it, you know, if you followed the conversation about it, we were focused on the C&D, the construction and demolition waste that's been coming out of there, has been. It's actually the stuff that we make the most money on. We charge it at a higher double rate of instead of what our primary service area is. But that's something also that eats up a lot of space unnecessarily. It doesn't pack the best, so that we focused on getting rid of that. That was something we could probably hopefully manage on the easily. It hasn't been the easiest as I imagined, but there's a lot of outlier, a lot of weird stuff out there, if you will,
that sure
doesn't really fit into the MSW municipal solid waste classification, and it's probably not really C&D. And it's just, what about this then? Well, which way do you go with it? Okay. And in my mind, it's less is better. We want to have less stuff coming into our landfill to prolong our life. So if we can divert it, we're going to divert it, have that opportunity to do it. So it's been better. You know, we're getting there. It's kind of frustrating sometimes, you know, of what about this and that and trying to, you know, figure out what classification it is. And I know our scale attendants have some, like, constant questions, which I certainly get. And we're working through it. We're getting there. I think it's getting better. You know, our tonnage went down to, we were talking about this morning, probably in the 230, 240, 250 ton a day, which is what it used to be years ago. And, you know,
so we've made some progress.
Yeah. Yeah. It's working. It's going to be a slow process and, to keep it going, but, we're getting there. We're walking through mud. It seems like you're finally getting through it. So
as a garbage truck goes by, that reminds me because, the thing I was going to ask is you have so many people, you have so much work that has to be done on any given day. So it doesn't matter. You're actually receiving less money now to do the same work.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we're operating with less staff than we have historically. Kind of made some, you know, didn't fill positions and made some changes over the last few years, figuring that this was coming. And so we kind of did it a little bit backward when we didn't fill those spots, but
sure,
still kind of getting through it. But yeah, you're right. You know, when we open up for 250 ton versus, you know, 400 tons coming in, kind of the same work. It only kind of probably gets more as we have two pieces of equipment typically when there's that much, because there's a lot more traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to shove stuff instead of just being able to shove it and smash it at the same time. So sometimes we get two guys down on the work face when we get those heavier tonnage days. But ultimately, same staff, you know, the 99% of the work would stay the same, frankly, you know, with the staff. So we're, you know, just because we're cutting off,
a third,
you know, of it, we're not going to get rid of a third of the staff, you know, we just can't. You still have
that much work that needs to be done.
That's right. Yep.
Got to still push it.
Still get it done.
Got to crunch it. Yep. Got to cover it. There's certain things that just have to be done.
And then there's the other projects too that, you know, Halsman leachate, managing that. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, there's litter pickup. There's, cutting weeds, certain trees out of the face or the covered area of the land.
Because they grow.
They grow, and then they die, and then there's holes.
Feral cats all over the place. So. Anyway, feral trees.
Feral trees.
Yeah. That's a new one. Anyway, just thinking of stuff. No, that's it. But, you know, people need to realize that there's a lot more that goes into it.
Yeah.
And of course, people want to have a place for it to go rather than the ditch, which, by the way, I've seen a few littering things show up, too. So I get the call sheet, so I can see all that stuff.
Great.
It happens. Yep. Yeah, I know. I talked to a neighbor that he wasn't sure what the carrier or when they would pick up. So he had some bunch of boxes out, but they didn't take them. So he thought they would go with recycling. Well, he found out, no, I should take those over to the drop-off location. So I said, yeah, all you got to do is break them down and put them in there.
Perfect.
Just please.
Yes.
And so, yeah, he thought that was pretty convenient, but he didn't know because he's relatively new.
Yeah,
so.
Well, good. Good job.
Hey, we try. We do what we can. In the meantime, those are just some of the things. Yeah. So what? At some point, the amount of money that is being made, if you're reducing the amount that's coming in, obviously you still got to meet those certain financial obligations. So our fees have not changed very much. Actually, you have relatively low fees as far as solid waste landfills.
Yeah, comparatively, we are on the lower end around the state. I won't say we're the cheapest, but I know we're on the bottom end.
I'm not going to say razors, but I'm just going to say people don't be surprised.
Yeah, and honestly, it's going to happen. Everything's going up, and excuse me. There's the mindset too of keep it cheap. You know, and I get that. I've often heard that, you know, our tipping fees are very low, and that's good because we want people throwing the stuff into the landfill instead of just throwing it out in the ditches.
Mm-hmm.
Totally understand that. There's also the mindset that, excuse me, you got recycling on one end where it's free, you know, and people should recycle. It's free. It's a free service. That's wonderful. But there's also the mindset of those rates are so darn low, you know, that to throw it away that I'm not going to bother sorting. Why would I separate the recycling and the garbage? Because the garbage is cheap enough. Let's just throw it all away.
Mm-hmm.
And that mindset really has to stop. I mean, that's becoming more and more my push lately is that mindset that it's so darn cheap that what's the point? Well, free is better, but I don't know if there's even enough. I think it's
but recycling is not free.
Free to the
free
no
for people to bring it there. There's no charge to do it. Yes.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you. And to educate more on that, it's not free to us, not free to the landfill, not free to the landfill and recycling center. It's certainly not. It's very expensive. We would be better off to bury it all financially. But that's going to be more of a waste of space, too. So we're trying to do the best we can to not waste our space. And we're trying to cut back with the change in the truck to pick up the recycling, you know, circling back to that aspect. We're trying to cut those costs so that it is less expensive on our end for recycling. But
now we've got people thoroughly confused.
Yeah. We went full circle and,
I was going to say.
What's going on now?
The idea is, the part of it is, try to extend the life. You're caught literally between your recycling and your the available space is where you're at.
There's the rock and the hard place.
That is right there. Yeah. Now, it's because that's a challenge. How do we extend it and do it cost effectively and still not burden users with additional fees?
Yeah. Yeah. So. I'm not going to say double rates, but you know, it has to be more meaningful and more incentivizing it to not throw it away just because it's so darn cheap. You know, I heard that so many times. Mm-hmm. And there's fine stuff that's being thrown away. I mean, stuff that's like, there's nothing wrong with that. That 2x4's still got a tag on it, and it's still an 8-foot 2x4 mm-hmm. that's not broken. And because of a construction project is done, easier just to throw it away. Mm-hmm. And that's frustrating. That just drives me nuts just to throw it away because it's still good.
Very quickly, I was going to say, we got obviously our household hazardous waste drop-off event coming up on Saturday morning.
Yes.
What is it, about 8 to 10, somewhere in there?
I would say 8:30 to 10:30. So okay. We open up at 8, we close at 11, so we got to give a little time to get started and give a little time mm-hmm. to wrap it up. So
okay. Use the second entrance.
Yep, if that's all you have for the hazardous waste. Yep.
For hazardous waste. And I know we're not that far away from yard waste stuff coming up again.
Yeah.
Well, uh-huh. we'll talk That's more right. about that next time.
we get to offer that again this year.
You still looking? How did it work in the springtime, the 3 days? What was it?
Overall, it was fine.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Yep, it did streamline. It did push the bulk mm-hmm. of the business into those days. You know, there were still others that, you know, didn't have any other time, and I get that. But, you know, it's confusing, I know, getting that message and making that, getting that change out there to folks to say it's just Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays of those weeks. You know, still the same time frame. If you've done mm-hmm. this for 20 years or whatever of taking your yard waste out there, and you've always known it to be October 1st through November 15th, it's still the same time frame. However, it's only going to be free during the Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays of those days of those weeks. So
we'll talk more next time on that.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll keep at it.
In the meantime, it's just, again, great weather has helped out. I'm guessing you got some additional tonnage came in from Farm Progress.
Yeah, I've heard a few loads. Yeah,
a few loads there.
Declared at the window, yeah.
And now with Super Nationals, they're mm-hmm. going to have a few more coming out like that. So we got that. But it happens when you have these big events going on, so.
Yep, that's the trade-off, I know. Yeah, let's have more events. Let's get people here. Boone's wonderful. Yay, let's make more garbage.
There's that. There is that.
It is, yep.
You are caught between, you know, offering that service, having that service for people so they can dispose of things, and then trying to get them to recycle and extend the life as much as you can because it is limited.
Yep.
So, some right. point.
Some point, yep. It's coming.
It will be. Still, people, if they want to find out more about the efforts to preserve space, things like that, operations for the landfill, they can always call and set up a time for a presentation.
Sure.
We'll gladly do that.
You bet. Love to get out and talk to folks about what the future lies for the landfill, what changes we're making, all that stuff. People usually find it quite, hopefully it's interesting. Usually there's something that's like, oh, I didn't realize that. And or if you want to come out and see the action, you know, if you really want to see the garbage being smashed and all of its glorious wonder, please give a call. We can set something up, 515-433-0591.
John Rosa, Landfill Administrator, Recycling Coordinator. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.